Blog Talk Radio.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Moving the Chains. I'm Aaron Fowler. If you follow the tweets, obviously, when I'm on the host, my phone doesn't let me stay on the internet, so I can't bring anybody over yet. I'm getting that worked out. So soon I will be able to bring people over. But I'm going to take a page out of Guru's book, out of his show, and basically, you know, I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to leave all the, obviously I can't bring anybody over. I was just going to leave all the mics open for Jerry. This is, I'm going to dedicate the show to Jerry, who, you know, it still makes me, you know, a little down when I think about it. I wish I could have done more as a host for him, but, you know, he got me to this point. I can't thank him enough. So I'm going to go ahead and get this started. We're going to start off with a couple of things with the Dallas Cowboys. They're talking about bringing back Justin Durant, who I know, but if you didn't know, if you don't follow the Cowboys, I know they're pretty much hated. But he played for the Cowboys back in 2013, 2014. We released him in 2015. It was due to an injury, plus we brought in Rolando McClain at the same time, so we basically just swapped. But Durant went to the Atlanta Falcons for the past couple of years. Had a couple of good seasons there. I think he signed either a 1 or 2 year deal for them. So he's a free agent now. There's talks about bringing him back to the defense to maybe free up the spot of Rolando McClain. It would kind of go full circle if that happens, because let's face it, we do need help at linebacker, because Rolando McClain suspended for the first 10 games of the season. And let's face it, we need all the help we can get at defense. That is a veteran defense. I get that. But we haven't been good at creating turnovers since 2014 when we won the division. So that defense has a lot of holes that needs to be somewhat plugged in with either somebody capable of playing all 16 games or a bunch of guys at the depth chart, and that's what we got basically now. So that's an interesting thing to bring him back. I'm hoping they do, because, I mean, as a fan, I like Justin Durant. He had a couple great seasons with us. So we need all the help we can get a linebacker. I'll take it. Otherwise, I would be looking to either just pay McClain out, pay his contract out, get him out, or maybe use one of the 5 running backs we got on the depth chart right now as trade bait for a running back. And, you know, maybe throw in Darren McFadden and, you know, maybe a 5th or 6th round pick and go get a linebacker. You know, go get, you know, throw in a 4th round pick with him, go get Manti Te'o or somebody, you know. This is where Stephen Jones needs to step up and really start taking the reins of this team, because let's face it, I think when Stephen Jones is at the helm, we have a better chance of actually winning. So, I mean, Jerry Jones has had his years, don't get me wrong, but let's face it, he's trying to run the team like he did in the 90s, and it worked back then, but it doesn't work now. So I'm going to get off of that topic, because I'm going to the Cowboys all night if I wanted to. But now, basically, what I got left is fantasy football. You know, it's football. This is what we got, like 3 or 4 weeks left until preseason. You know, it's the last month before football's here. It's here. A lot of teams are about to start their drafts. If you already haven't done it, most teams wait till probably the 3rd or 4th week of preseason, then they'll do their draft right before the season starts. That way they know, you know, who's injured, who's not injured. That way you're not wasting waivers right off the bat. So basically, I've got 5 players who I think are poised for a breakout season. And that's, you know, that's just for their team and in fantasy. You can look at it both ways. And then I've got 3 players. Basically, I've labeled them late rounders with either a huge or a good to huge upside value. If you're looking for players in the late round after you've either you're drafted a backup or you're trying to fill a hole. But those five players we're going to start out with, the big guys, number one, to me, I think Marcus Mariota is poised for probably the best season he might have in a while. I'm not saying that because, you know, he did phenomenal as a rookie. I mean, to me, I think his rookie year, let's face it, a lot of people thought Marcus Mariota was going to need time to adjust to the game because of the offense he ran in Oregon. Wasn't the same offense that Wisenhunt was running in Tennessee. So, but if you go back and actually watch Mariota, he had tremendous – he looked – I'll say, you know, he looked very calm in the pocket. He really did. He was very poised as a rookie. And, you know, then he was played by injuries. But I think this year, you know, let's face it, they got some offensive line, right? They got Jake Conley from Michigan State. Yes, they brought in DeMarco Murray at running back along with Derrick Henry. But, I mean, that's going to have some protection. But I think the level of play that he needs to be at is going to rely on his offensive line. And they plugged everything they needed to in the offensive line. So I think Marcus Mariota, number one, poised for a great season. Probably going to put up some great fantasy numbers. I would estimate he probably throws anywhere from 4 to 4,500 yards this season. I think he's got that capability. Now, the touchdown to interception ratio, that's going to be the question. But, you know, that's something we're just going to have to wait and see. And number two, I'm putting number two and number three together because they're on the same team, okay? I've got Dante Moncrief and I've got Philip Dorsett. Okay, now these two guys obviously were drafted to be an important role on this team, correct? Right? Okay? But when Andrew Luck went down, let's face it, that whole team went down, okay? Then you've got T.Y. Hilton is now the number one guy. So with Andrew Luck coming back, let's face it, Dante Moncrief has yet to have a 1,000-yard season, who everybody thought when he was drafted, that's, you know, he was going to be putting that up every year. He hasn't hit that yet. And Philip Dorsett only had 18 catches as a rookie, okay? But let's face it, his rookie year, the team had its ups and downs, but didn't really have a chemistry going. This year, you got Andrew Luck coming back. He just signed that massive deal for the next 5 years. So let's face it. Philip Dorsett, Dante Moncrief, these guys are probably going to be probably a top three wide receiver duo in the NFL this year. Not taking anything from T.Y. Hilton. I just look at him as the number one guy. And then when he can't get open or he's not on the field, if they're going to rotate him out, they got Moncrief and Philip Dorsett to take a couple of the snaps. So look for these two guys to have a breakout season, barring everybody stays healthy, including Andrew Luck. Number three, I'm going defensive side of the ball for the last two picks. Number three is, if I don't know if people just follow defenses or if they follow actual players, but my number three guy is Ronald Darby, defensive back out of the Buffalo Bills. You know, he had his season last year really just took off. In my opinion, he had a really good season. You know, he put up some decent numbers, but can he ascend to that next level of defensive backs that we've known Rex Ryan to put out? And the rumor is out there, can he be the guy to step up for this defense like another certain defensive back did with Rex Ryan in New York? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to spoil it. They're comparing him to Joel Levis. Can he ascend to that level this year? Honestly, I would think so if it wasn't for the fact that Rob Ryan was coaching that defense. If they had any other defensive coordinator, I would say, yeah, probably. But Rob Ryan does one thing on defense and one thing only, and that's blitz unnecessarily every other play. I think he's a good special teams coach. I just don't think he's worth being a defensive coordinator. I don't think he understands how certain defensive schemes run. And I believe the Bills are running a 4-3, and he's going to be switching from the 3-4. So that's going to be interesting to see. But I think Darby has the potential to be that type of player this year. He definitely has the potential to be a defensive player of the year, but let's face it, most of those players are usually defensive linemen or linebackers. Speaking of defensive linemen, my last player was a former number one pick. We have yet to see anything out of him for the past 3 to 4 years, and that's Jadeveon Clowney. You know, I'll give him this. He showed promise in some viewings of his play on the field. I could actually see what he did in South Carolina. I could see him like, oh, okay, now we're starting to get in the groove. He's starting to take better care of his body. He's starting to understand the game and play at the level that he was drafted at number one. Still haven't seen it. And then Greg Rosenthal goes out and says that he thinks he could be a force this year for the Texans as much as Terrell Suggs. Let's face it, I'm not going to compare a guy who's been injured every year since he's been in the NFL, former number one pick, to Terrell Suggs when I haven't seen Jadeveon Clowney, or anybody to that fact, have seen him play a consistent 16-game season. Now, when he starts putting up consistent numbers, I'll give him, if he can do it for two consecutive seasons, if he can do it this year and next year and put up, let's say he gets anywhere from, I'd like to see anywhere from 10 to 15 sacks a year, not counting the postseason. If he can do that for the next couple of years, I'll say that, it took him a while, but he was worth it at the number one pick. I'll say that. I'll give it to him. Okay? So those are my five guys. If you're looking for if these were on your team, if you're a Colts fan, Titans, Bills, and the Texans, if those are your teams, you're looking for these guys that have, a breakout season maybe. They might go from great player to superstar, or from average player to an eventual starter in the rotation. All these guys that I just listed have that potential. But now we're going to head over to probably the deepest part of the show, and that's the fantasy football. Okay. Now, like I said, a lot of people are bringing their drafts together right now, and either you're looking to get ready to draft, or maybe you're in your draft right now. A lot of dynasty leagues are going to be in their drafts. A lot of leagues, PPR leagues, do their drafts early. But if you're looking for those late rounders that usually are either a steal or a bust, that's not the case this year. There's going to be a lot of great players left in the late rounds, okay? And I've taken the liberty of providing y'all with one running back, one quarterback, and one tight end that I think are going to be great late round pickups with huge potential upside for your fantasy football season. And I'm going to start off with the running back. Now, a lot of people think this team is probably destined to do them again because of everything that went down. But excuse me. Sorry about that. I had to sneeze. So I had to mute the phone. But the running back I'm going with for a late rounder, huge upside, is Isaiah Crowell. Okay, Cleveland Browns. First year under Hugh Jackson. He showed that he was trying to rebuild the team. The only thing he didn't show was any movements in the backfield. He didn't sign one running back. He likes the team of who he's got with Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson, and there's another guy that I can't remember his name, but, we'll see him. I know that. But let's face it. Isaiah Crowell had a decent couple of years. I mean, he actually puts up good numbers. I think last year he averaged, 4 yards a carry. I think that was his numbers last year. Now, granted, they ran him to death, but let's face it. For most fantasy players, they're looking for garbage time at the end of the game, or they're looking for, something special. But if you look at Isaiah Crowell, look what he's going to be able to do this year, okay? He's going to get the ball early. He's going to get the ball very often. I can promise you that because, let's face it, quarterback play. Don't know who's going to be the starter. Wide receivers. You don't clearly have a number one wide receiver, except if you want to count Corey Coleman. But even if he's on the field as your number one, who's your quarterback? Okay. Tight ends. you don't have a clear, consistent, reliable tight end. Everything on the offense is a questionable value except for the running back. You know you can rely on fantasy points at the running back position for the Cleveland Browns because, let's face it, that's all they're going to be able to do until they get something going. So either you're getting garbage yards or you're getting some broken tackles and touchdowns. That's how I look at it. And he's probably going to go in the late rounds. He's not going to be that guy that they get that gets drafted, you know, within the first six rounds probably. You know, you can get this guy probably 8th, 9th, or 10th round, or maybe even the last round. You know, but like I said, there's going to be a lot of players left on the board. So if you're looking for a late-round running back, maybe to play in your flex spot or maybe just as a backup to play for your bye week guys, look at it as Isaiah Crowell. You know, he's going to be viable. He's going to be there. You know, if you get passed up, you know, on him, that's because I know a lot of people are going to want to see what Amir Abdullah can do again. He's going to be in the late rounds because he's not the clear starter. Okay, it's Theo Riddick. You know, if you are looking at Amir Abdullah and he gets taken, guess what? You can still rely on Isaiah Crowell if he's on the board. If he's on the board in the late rounds, snatch him. All right? Number two, quarterbacks. Now, the quarterback I'm going to name, some people would feel like he would be drafted early. I don't think he would be. I think he'll be probably, I would say, anywhere from sixth round and down, that's kind of a mid, late to late rounder. Okay. And I want to put on a note, he is playing for a contract. This is his last year in his contract. Will he get the new contract in the year? I don't think they're going to wait. I think the quarterback I'm about to name is going to be the next one to get the big signing. He's going to be the next one to get the big contract. That's Tyrod Taylor, okay, at Buffalo Bills. Let's face it. He put up good numbers last year. I thought he put up tremendous numbers last year. I thought he did a great job of what he had to do. He showed me in some games that he could, you know, he can be that every game guy. You can rely on this guy, okay? He almost beat a couple of great teams, by the way. He put it to the Patriots in week one. Let's face it. I mean, this guy has the arm. He's got the football IQ. And he's got the legs. Triple threat. And especially in a Rex Ryan offense, that's what you need in quarterback, okay? Now, obviously, they don't know what his overall play is going to be because we don't know if we're going to get 100% of Sammy Watkins or if we're going to get anything less than that. But I think regardless if Sammy Watkins is on the field healthy or not, you can still rely on Tyrod Taylor. Because I'm looking at Tyrod as the guy that gets passed up. You know, Philip Rivers will be taken before him, Andy Dalton. Joe Flacco probably could be taken before him. A lot of people are still huge Flacco fans. But I think Flacco has decent regular season fantasy numbers. Just if they make the playoffs, I think he's worth a little bit more in value. But if you're looking for Rivers in the late rounds or Andy Dalton or Flacco, and those guys are taken, and you're seeing Tyrod Taylor, you're seeing Carson Wentz, you're seeing, you're seeing the Blaine Gabbert, you're seeing, you know, players of that, like that. You're seeing Nick Foles, because let's face it, Nick isn't going to be the starter of that. Tyrod's there. He's worth the risk. You know, he's got huge potential this year. That defense, you know, that defense could help him out a lot. So there's your quarterback, there's your running back. Last one, tight end. Okay, now the tight end I'm going to name, this team has had, they have everything going wrong for them right now, and I couldn't be able to, hold on. I couldn't be able to tell you one good player that it's worth drafting on this team, but if you're looking for fantasy numbers, if you're looking for a late rounder hole filler, guess what? I've got you one. It's not on the most spectacular team, but guess what? He's going to put you up some numbers, and that's tight end Vance McDonald, San Francisco 49ers. Now, hear me out. I know 49ers, Chip Kelly's going to ruin that team too. Probably. But here's why I'm saying Vance McDonald. When they traded Vernon Davis to the Denver Broncos, Vance McDonald's numbers were okay, but his role significantly increased. He was looked to in passing situations, okay? Now, granted, he built the reputation with Blaine Gabbert over Colin Kaepernick, which I don't blame him. I would, too, because Colin Kaepernick only does one thing and one thing only, and that's throw picks, okay? Now, weeks 1 through 8, keep this in mind, weeks 1 through 8, Vance McDonald, when he was starting, weeks 1 through 8, wasn't that spectacular? He only had 8 catches for 45 yards, average 1.6 yards a game. Now, did he have a catch a game? I don't know. But let's face it.
Excuse me.
Okay, I'm going to apologize. I keep muting the show. My allergies are messing up, so I'm sneezing my head off. Okay, but let's face it. In weeks 9 through 17, though, when the 49ers had a little bit of a show and when Blaine Gabbert was really playing like Blaine Gabbert, his numbers went up. He was averaging 5 catches a game, weeks 9 through 17, keep that in mind, averaged 5 catches a game, and in those last weeks, out of the 35 targets, he hauled in 23 for 35 for 281 yards and 3 touchdowns. Now, I know what you're saying. Aaron, 3 touchdowns, that's not fantasy numbers whatsoever. Hear me out, okay? In weeks 9 through 17, when I would say after week 7, these are when games really start to matter, right? You're trying to make playoff appearances. You're trying to derail some teams. You're trying to take the lead in your division, okay? In those 9 to 17 weeks, Vance McDonald was ranked 2nd in targets behind Anquan Boldin. He was ranked 3rd in receptions behind Anquan Boldin. And he was 1st ranked in red zone appearances and targets. Now, if you look at it, in the red zone, he was 1st in targets. He had 6 in 9 through 17. Remember that, not the whole year. He was ranked 4th in receptions. He had 4 of the 6 targets, okay? And that's where he hauled in his 3 touchdowns. He was ranked 3rd in touchdowns. But let's look at it. Look at this offense. Running game. And no, not there. Passing game. No one. Anquan Boldin is a free agent, if you remember. He hasn't signed with the 49ers. He hasn't signed with any other team. So who do you think is going to be their safety net, whether it's Blaine Gabbert taking the reins or Colin Kaepernick straightening up, which I don't see it, but even if he takes the reins, who do you see is going to be their safety net? Their running game? No. Their running game was only good in that first game against Minnesota. Okay, after that, non-existent. They're going to rely in their tight ends till they get something figured out, get a game plan, the running game either works or doesn't. So, obviously, this guy isn't going to be, you know, a tight end that you draft early unless you're just one of those guys that, like, draft from your team. Like, you draft, like, the first 4 players off of your team. Don't do that. But if you're looking for these late rounds, and I guarantee this guy is going to be there from anywhere from round 10 to 12, depending on how many rounds you have, he's going to be there. All right? I promise you. This guy is going to be there. He's going to be either undrafted, he's going to be on the waiver wire, or someone's going to take a chance. I'm telling you, if you take a chance on this guy, right off the bat, if you look at the 49ers schedule, they're playing tough defenses that stop the run. I think their first 4 games are against, off the top of my head, I don't know, but I think the first 4 games are against defenses that were in the top 20 in stopping the run last year. And let's face it, they try to get that going and it doesn't work. They don't have any receivers to throw to. Who you got? No one. You got your tight end, Vance McDonald. So in those first 4 games, and possibly on beyond that, because if he starts getting a reputation going, if he starts seeing targets early and often, guess what? That's garbage. It's either garbage time or, you know, you're getting scores. Now, I know a lot of fantasy football teams, they'll either run a flex position that has a wide receiver or a running back, or they'll have a wide receiver or a tight end, or a running back and a tight end. There's multiple options you can go with in that flex position. It just depends on what type of league you are in, okay? I think it would be safe to put him in that flex spot until he starts showing that he's going to be that number one offensive guy. Until that time, him in the flex for a couple weeks, see how he does. Obviously, you don't have to. Obviously, there's going to be other players out there that you might want to take after. But I'm just saying, if you're looking for a guy in the late round to plug in, oh, I need an extra tight end for my bye week, guys, maybe your tight end has a bye week coming up in the first 5 weeks. Guess what? You have your filler right behind him. Now, I'm not saying this guy can't be a number one. He has the potential to, but that's going to depend on that team. And I usually don't like to draft big players, regardless of position, when they have a new head coach taking their team. You don't see them play. It's like 60-40 at the percentage wise that they play worse than what they did. Okay. But granted, there's those times where they just outplay themselves and outplay expectations. I just don't see that with Chip Kelly running the 49ers. Okay, Colin Kaepernick doesn't like Chip Kelly. you know, when you have a headbutt for your head coach right off the bat, doesn't tend to play out. That's why I see Blaine Gabbert taking the reins this year for the 49ers. And it, to be honest, that's probably the best chance to win. That's just me. I'm just saying it. But, I mean, if you have some fantasy advice for anybody, you know what? Go ahead and tweet it out to me. I got no problem. No, I got no problem doing that. Actually, okay, I got to sneeze again. Hold on. Okay, apologize about that. Like I said, my sinuses are going off right now. So, like I said, if you've got any, like, fantasy sleepers or anything of that matter, you know what, go ahead and either tweet it out to me or, you know, put it on a poll on Twitter or, you know, find a way to put it out there. I'm going to, because the next show I plan on doing is going to be a viewer show. Like, I'm not going to, like, all I'm going to do is I'm going to tweet out questions for y'all, like polls and essays and stuff like that. And what I want is I want y'all to, you know, answer back, obviously. And I'm going to go over those on my next show. Like, it's going to be y'all's show, technically. I'm just going to read the results. And it's going to be nothing but fantasy. What I plan on doing is I'm going to see, you know, which fantasy quarterback is going to be, how do I put this? Who do you think as a quarterback in fantasy only, fantasy numbers, who wasn't a top tier quarterback could be a top fantasy quarterback? I'll say it that way. Like Tyrod Taylor, I'll take him for instance. You know, he has the potential to be a top 12 quarterback in the league, and he has the potential to be a top 7 fantasy quarterback, okay? So I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the same thing with running backs. I'm going to send out polls on who do you think will be potential starters over other players. I'm going to take a page out of Tyler's book. I'm going to do a fan section. So I'm going to be looking for fans of certain teams to come on. We're going to talk about your team. We're going to really dissect your team. I'm only going to do one. Probably going to do one a week for a couple weeks. But what I'm going to do is whatever team you're a fan of, let's say you're a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. We're going to dissect your team. We're going to go over the offense. We're going to go over the defense. We're going to go over the special teams. We're going to go over every thing that's good, great, bad, and ugly about your team. And we're going to see your opinion on your team. We're going to see if you're one of those true fans or if you're one of those guys that, you know, maybe hop on a bandwagon every now and then. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people do it. But, like for me, being a Cowboys fan, I've been through the ringer. I've seen some horrible seasons. I've seen some good seasons. Okay. But when it comes to the Cowboys, you can ask any of the other hosts on here. Sometimes it seems like I'm being a bandwagon fan, but other times, you know, I'm talking the truth about the Cowboys. You know, I'll go back to what I said 3 years ago when I first started doing this with Jerry. I told him that there was any other person in power to run that team besides a member of the Joneses family, Cowboys probably would have been to, you know, one or two more Super Bowls in the after 2000. Okay, but let's face it, there's been years where they ran this team into the ground and it was ugly to watch. I mean, I've sat through 4-12 seasons. Last year was 4-12. I've sat through 3-13. I've sat through multiple 8-8 seasons. The only upside to that is that an 8-8 season in the NFC East could win you the division. Just pointing it out. It's possible. It doesn't matter what your team is. We're going to dissect it. And I hope you're up for it because that's what we're going to do. But, you know, speaking of Jerry, I haven't had a really good chance on any of the shows that I've been on to really talk about, you know, a story about me and Jerry, and now I have the time. Funny story is actually how I met Jerry and actually how I started doing this. You're probably going to have to give me a second. Funny thing is how I actually met Jerry to start doing this. Believe it or not, and, you know, this may have been the type of guy Jerry was, but I found an ad on Craigslist about being a sports writer for a radio show. And I thought, you know, that could be pretty cool. You know, I could learn different sports, learn a lot of things about sports because, I mean, I love watching about it and know that much at the time, you know. I found his ad on Craigslist, surprisingly enough. And all he wanted out of the ad was to email him basically a column of anything sports that you would put in like a paper with your number and your name. And sure enough, like I got a response like 2 minutes later, but I didn't recognize the number, so I didn't answer it because it was a Vegas number. And Jerry left me a message and told me that he was interested in getting a hold of me and moving forward. And sure enough, I called him that night, right after that message. And we were on the phone with I was on the phone with him and Rhino, actually, probably for a good hour and a half, talking about everything. And then I started writing for Sports Addicts, the website for Jerry. And then probably a month went by, and him and Rhino approached me about being Rhino's co-hosts on Rhino's Hotspots. And I took the opportunity. And I was Rhino's co-host for probably a good year, I would say. And after that, I had Jerry approach me about having my own show. But I want to welcome on Rhino. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I don't know how you did that. I really don't. That's the magic right there.
Yeah.
I really don't know how this is possible, but welcome to the show.
I appreciate you having
how
me.
You doing, how you doing?
I'm good. I had technical difficulties, but I'm good. How you doing?
Well, apparently we both had them because I didn't think this was possible. But I was just telling everybody, you know, how I met you and Jerry, and because I really haven't had a chance to really say anything about that, and I was just telling them. that I was with you for a little over a year being your co-host, and then Jerry approached me about having my own show, and I've had it my own show for the last 2 years running now. So, you know, obviously when I met you and Jerry about doing this, obviously, you know, you and Jerry were really tight. I understand that. You were really close. I mean, starting off, and I want you to be honest with me. I want you to be honest with me here. I don't mind criticism at all one bit. Starting off, how have you seen me from the beginning and the way I am now? And then go on and tell a little bit about you and Jerry.
And when everybody starts, they get nervous, they get flustered. It happens. It happened with me, okay, Aaron? I'm not going to sit here and say I was fantastic, okay? It takes a while. You know, you were very shy, timid, okay? You came on with me. When we asked you to be a sports writer, you loved it. You wanted to do it. You came on with me. It was a little bit different. You didn't know how to be in that environment. And then I saw you progress each and every time. And you know what? You have your own show, Moving the Chains. When you approached me and Jerry about the show, we both thought it was a fantastic idea. You were on with me for, what, a year and a half, a year? So you knew how to do it. It was just getting you into that process of stepping you up into what you're doing right now. You started off slow. Everybody does. You progress. And you've done a really, really good job. I have nothing else to say negatively towards you. I mean, it's just a step in the right direction. Will did it. T did it. I did it. Tyler's done it. I mean, you got to start below, but you've done good. I like what you've done. And regarding Jerry and I, he reached out to me via a friend of my dad's. I was very interested in doing sports. I was constantly talking about it. I was in high school or junior high, something like that. I came up there. I knew Jerry for 5 years, so we were very, very close. I've known him a long time. And he approached me. I did it. I started with two other guys. They weren't there no more. It was me and him. We tried to create the Soul Sports Addicts. We did the website. We did the blogs. We got you. We got Will. We got T. So both of us built it into a very, very big thing right now. There's still more work to get done. But I am forever grateful for meeting him.
Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, I couldn't have asked for anyone better to help me out other than, you know, you. T has helped me out even, you know, I've reached out to Will, me and him have talked. But, I mean, now that you're on the show, I mean, I've already went over my topics, obviously. But, you know, let's recap. I want to get your thoughts on some things because there were some interesting things that I talked about. I don't know if you've caught in any of it at all or if you just called in. Either way, it's fine. Well, I mean, did you catch any of it at all?
No, I didn't. I was running late. You know why. But I was running late.
Okay, yeah. No, I get that. Okay, so basically we're just going to do a quick recap then. Okay, started off, it's possible that the Cowboys are going to be bringing back Justin Durant from the Atlanta Falcons, who played with us in 2013 and 2014. He's a free agent, didn't re-sign with the Falcons. It's possible that we're going to be bringing him back to either fill the role of Rolando McClain or just to add depth till he serves a suspension. Either way, what's your thoughts about it?
Well, if there's one thing Rod Marinelli knows how to do is recruit guys on defense, and he's done it. Durant played for them, went to Atlanta, and he's going to come back. He knows the system. He knows very well. This is a very big team need, a linebacker, because of what happened with Rolando McClain. Sean Lee is very fragile, so who knows? You need another stability. You have what? You know, somebody, two people suspended. Another has actually, what, you have Gregory suspended. You have the guy who he got, what, at a Boise State a couple years ago. He's suspended. McClain's suspended. So you're going to need some more depth. And I understand that this is a definite team need right now, right? I mean, if you really look at it. I mean, you really don't
anything
have a choice.
Anything on defense is a definite need. So, I mean, it's...
No, I mean, but it's my from that certain spot. I mean, what happens if Sean Lee gets hurt? You have nobody left. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
then bringing him over is a smart idea.
Yeah, that position is definitely probably our weakest. But the funny thing is we let go of Durant to sign Rolando McClain in 2014.
Yeah.
After that happened,
Aaron, we talked about it a lot. You know, you texted me, I called you, you know, we had different feelings on that. I personally thought since he never did anything with the Raiders, he wasn't going to be spectacular. His best days were when he was in Alabama, but he could not stay sober, and he had that problem. He didn't have that problem last year, but, I mean, it's happening again. We're seeing the old Ronaldo McClain.
That's true, and, you know, when they brought him in, I was upset because Durant in 2014, that's the last, you know, that was when we won the division. We went 13-3, and, I mean, let's face it, that defense helped us in a big part amongst the running game, but I mean, he did a great job that year. I just didn't know why Jerry Jones was being an idiot. Like I said, always, though, if he wasn't in power, we'd probably be doing something different anyways. But, I mean, there's talks about bringing him back. I want them to bring someone in. I don't care who it is. It could be Durant. It could be Van Tateo. It could be a linebacker out of Tennessee or Cleveland, for all I care. As long as they bring in someone to plug in the hole that we're going to be missing for 10 weeks, I think it's worth it, whoever it is. Now, granted, he's probably going to appeal. He might win. He might get it knocked down under 5. Either way, a suspension is still going to be served, so we still need someone. Now, from the fantasy-wise, because I did a lot of fantasy football this show, and I'm about to kill my cat, but I did a lot of fantasy stuff on the show, and I had three late, what I considered late rounders, but they have very high potential to be very good fantasy players for anyone's team. So I'm going to run those by you, but I only got three. I've got a quarterback, I've got a running back, and I've got a tight end. And I'm going to start with the quarterback, who I think is going to be passed up, and he's going to be there in late rounds, but he's in the last year of his contract, going to be playing. They're either going to sign him this year or next year, but it's going to depend on the numbers he puts up. If Tyrod Taylor is in the late rounds, and let's say you got him on the board with Rivers and Flacco, and you're in the eighth or the ninth round, and you're looking for another quarterback, is Tyrod Taylor worth taking that risk, either being a backup or, you know, maybe you don't draft your quarterback to the late rounds? Either way, you think he's worth the risk this year?
Look, I love Tyrod Taylor. I like what he did last year. Okay, he makes a lot of things happen, okay? You know, with his legs, with his arms, he just knows. I mean, they've won, 8 games last year, mostly due to him. I know he didn't play a couple games, but you know, I know Tyrod Taylor. I liked him at ADP. I thought he did very well. Would I risk it? Probably not. You know, I would think that there would be an 8th, 9th round. There may not be a lot of quarterbacks that are best on the board at that time. However, you get your starting quarterback, then what happens if he gets hurt? You know, you go back and look for a backup or one or two. However it works. But, you know, I like getting the quarterback first so I can figure out the other problems. But it doesn't hurt. Like, he has talent. The problem is he has Rex Ryan coaching him, and Rex Ryan does not know how to coach quarterbacks. It's given. It's what he does. He's a defensive coach at best. But I think Tyrod Taylor has talent, but I wouldn't risk it just for the simple fact that he doesn't have the right system with him.
I think he's got the right system. I just don't think he has the right coaching staff around him. Now, I like Rex Ryan.
Correct.
Okay. I like Rex. He's a great coach. He knows how to take a bad team and turn it into either something good or something great. Okay. And he's done that with players. But I think this entirely depends on, and it's sad to say that his value depends on his wide receiver. But if Sammy Watkins isn't 100% and he's not on the field, I think Tyrod Taylor's value goes down, and I think he has to work that much harder to get his value back up. But if Sammy's on the field, you got to expect Tyrod Taylor just to be throwing the 5 touchdowns that he did in Week 1 against New England. I mean, that was a great game, but you have to expect that level of play if Sammy Watkins is on the field. If not, then, you know, maybe he isn't, you know, worth the risk, but let's face it, let's say Rivers is gone, Dalton is gone, and Flacco is gone, and he's there, and you're sitting there with, like, rookie quarterbacks, you're sitting there with a Blaine Gabbert.
Well, then you have to take him because of the veteran experience. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. And I see your point, and that's a very, very valid point to make. But, you know, you're looking at it. Like, I am no fan of Rex Ryan. I never have been. I mean, he's a great defensive coach. There's no doubt about it. But when it comes to quarterbacks, he just doesn't know how to do it. But, you know, and you're right, he can turn a team around. You know, he has that mindset, and he's very, very good. I'm not really a fan. However, Tyrod Taylor and Aaron, you saw what he did last year, right? I mean, making these plays he made, throwing deep, I mean, making plays with his feet. I mean, that's exactly what they wanted. And I remember when they took E.J. Manuel, you know, I told multiple people that was a terrible mistake. And they get Sammy Watkins, you know, you get Robert Woods, Marquise Goodwin. They have a good team. And I think they can get over the hump, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see. I'm just not sold on Rex Ryan as a coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's what every football season is, regardless of, like, your coaching staff, players, whatever. Every football season, it's a new slate for every team. Anything can happen. We've seen it. But now I'm going to hit the running back, because this one I've had on my fantasy team. Jerry liked him a lot. But their offense is non-existent, and the running back too is going to be in the late round, so I think has tremendous value. As you know, he's got potential to really score you some fantasy numbers. That's how Zachary Crowell, Cleveland. You know, it's the first year under Hugh Jackson. He's trying to rebuild the team the way he wants it, but the one thing he didn't do was transform or add to or delete anything from the backfield. He didn't do anything with the running back position because he says he likes what he has at that position, which I don't blame him. You got Duke Johnson Jr., who can catch the ball when he has the ability to catch the ball. He's fumbled a lot. He can run the ball decently. He's got to work on that, his footwork. But you got Isaiah Crowell. Let's face it. Don't know who the quarterback's going to be, right? We don't know if it's going to be Catherly. We don't know if it's going to be RG3. We don't know the wide receivers because they don't have a clear-cut wide receiver. And if you want to count Corey Coleman, you can. But a rookie at number one, they're going to know who you're going to. So, I mean, you have no offensive scheme there. Plus, you don't have a reliable tight end. You have nothing. So the only thing they can do till they get something going is run the ball. And if he's there in the late rounds, I think he's going to be a steal. Because we know he's not going to be drafted above round five. He's going to be late, even if undrafted. So, I mean – if he's late, what do you think about him, or do you take the chance on him early?
You know, regarding Cleveland, and this has been a very sad story for a long time with the Browns, it's been a recurring theme, and I say this every offseason, so, you know, it's going to be beating a dead horse here. But they have nothing on their team right now, and if you look at it, who's the quarterback going to be? Look, they have Hugh Jackson. And when the Raiders had Hugh Jackson, Aaron, he didn't do a bad job. He went 8 on action and we fired, and then we went backwards. So it was absolutely a terrible decision by Al Davis. But segueing to Cleveland, he's a disciplined guy. You're going to get results with him. Okay, that's just how it's going to go. Now, Crowell's pretty much underrated, right? Because everyone thinks Duke Johnson's going to be the starting running back, which in the heat there very well may be. But I really like Crowell. I think he was very good coming out of college, but I think he went to LSU, something like that. And he was productive. He's done a really, really good job. I think it's going to be a two-back set here. But let's look at their depth chart. You have Corey Coleman, okay? You have Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson. That's it. I mean, and you could say Cody Kessler is going to be the quarterback, RG3. He hasn't made a decision. He says he's going to make a decision later. I think that he's leaning a little bit towards Kessler. But, I mean, at this point in time, what do you do? I mean, if you're Cleveland, you're in the exact same boat. But there's one major difference. Hugh Jackson is going to get results. They're not going to be a playoff team. They may not win 5 games. But this is a team that eventually, if they keep their core group together, they're going to be very good. It's going to take time. It's a rebuilding process. But they did the world a favor by getting rid of Johnny Headache, because that was just ridiculous. But I think Crowell could be a steal.
Oh, yeah. Let's look at the quarterback position for a second. You know, we know Hugh Jackson loves to work with quarterbacks. He gets results. He doesn't have a bad job. 8-8 with the Raiders back when he was there was actually pretty good. Okay? Cleveland's coming off a horrible season. Before that, they were 7-9. And that was probably their best season of a couple of decades, probably. But you got Cody Kessler out of USC, and you got RG3. These are your two quarterbacks that are going to be battling for the job. If I was Cleveland, and I don't know why I would say that, because they do it every year no matter what, even if they have a clear-cut starter, they're still going to do it. They're going to do it in preseason, okay? They're going to give RG3 two games. They're going to give Cody Kessler two games. They're probably going to go RG3 first, Kessler, RG3, Kessler, okay? And then they're going to evaluate the four games, obviously, unless they can just see right off the bat after maybe the third game who's going to be the guy. It's possible. But let's face it, Kessler is probably going to play in every preseason game, right? Because if RG3 is – if he's being leaned to towards the starter, in the third and fourth preseason game, they only play a half, okay? So Kessler's going to be playing the last three games regardless. They're going to choose it after preseason, but here's the thing. Who do you go with? Because you don't know what you're going to get out of RG3 anymore. You don't know if you're going to get that 2010 RG3 or if you're going to get – the RG3 who can't throw on the run, can't stay in the pocket because he's scared to hit. Or do you get Cody, or do you take Cody Kessler, who's a rookie quarterback, and they get thrown into the fire so much and it ruins their rep because they'll have two straight bad seasons because they were just tossed into it without learning and they have to learn on the fly. Either way, Cleveland is doomed at the quarterback position.
And it's like happens every year, Aaron. We talk about it, and it's almost a recurring theme, right? It's like every time this is going to happen, and then Johnny Manziel is going to be the story, and I knew that wasn't going to happen. That was a terrible pick. You have Brandon Whedon, Manziel. You have Jason Campbell. You have Brian Hoyer. I mean, none of these guys worked, okay? And RG3, okay, and I understand he goes to Cleveland. It's a fresh start. He wanted to get the heck out of Washington, and gee, I know you're listening, so you know, but this is going to be very, very a difficult situation for him because he has to evaluate what's going to be better with him and his staff. So I think if you really, really want to go with experience level, RG3 would get the nod. But at this point, you can flip a coin. It's 50-50. He doesn't even know. They asked him a couple of days ago. He says, I don't even know yet. You know, so he's not even confident who it's going to be, but you know, Hugh Jackson will pick him, and he'll pick him. And look, Hugh Jackson went 8-8 with Jason Campbell. Okay, so.
Well, I mean, here's what Hugh Jackson was probably thinking, and I don't blame him because I would be doing this. You have a rookie, and you have an injured veteran, right? The way I would see it is they're both rookies. You play it like you had no quarterbacks to start with when you took this team over. You had to draft your quarterback. That's how I would look at it.
Well,
that's very true. You got two rookies here. They're going to be going head-to-head. I don't care if you got four more years of experience than him. To me, the best guy will play. If that's the rookie, you got beat out by a rookie. I mean, Bledsoe got beat out by Romo, and he went undrafted. All right? So, I mean, it's possible. So, I just think – we got off topic, but I just think that Isaiah Crowell, late round, if he's there, good flex position, or he could just be a sleeper on your bench for a bye week. Either way, I think he'll be worth it.
Duke Johnson's going to get most of the starts, right? I mean, if you really look at it, he's the number one running back on their team, but Isaiah Crowell is very good in the red zone, okay? And if you want to put him in, you can put him in, and he'll score touchdowns. I mean, he may be small of a guy, but he can flat out run the ball.
He can, and that's, I mean, granted, it's going to be very hard for them to maybe get to the red zone, but when they get there, he's going to be a very viable option. He's going to vulture a lot of touchdowns. I can see that. And who knows? They might put this guy on kickoffs, on punts. Now, granted, you know, if you're in a PPR league, some of those have an option because I'm in a PPR league where it's an option. You get points for kick if your guy's a punt returner or kick returner. You get points for that. It just depends on your commissioner of that league. But to hit the tight end, now, don't laugh, but he is from the 49ers, and I'm going to go over why I think he's going to be the guy again. His name is Vance McDonald. He's probably unknown to probably everybody but the 49er fan base. he was the second guy behind Vernon Davis, but after they released him, obviously he became the starter. In weeks 1-8 last year, He only reeled in 8 catches for 45 yards, averaged 1.6 yards a game. Okay, it wasn't that spectacular, but let's face it, first 8 weeks that team was nothing but was not spectacular anyways. There was nothing good. But weeks 9 through 17, he started picking it up. And why? Because Blaine Gabbert took over. He averaged 5 catches a game, hauling in 23 of 35 for 281 yards and 3 touchdowns for the last 8 weeks of the season. And in those 8 weeks, he ranked second just behind Anquan Boldin in targets, third behind Anquan Boldin in receptions, and he was number one in red zone. And in the red zone, like I said, he was first in targets. He had 6 targets in the red zone. Now, this isn't all year. This is weeks 9 through 17 when games really start to matter. He was fourth in receptions. He had 4, really in 4 for 6. And he was third in touchdowns. That's where the 3 touchdowns came from. But let's look at it. 49ers, new head coach and Chip Kelly, probably going to destroy that team as well. Quarterback situation is the same as Cleveland. Don't know who's going to be the starter because Colin Kaepernick and Chip Kelly are feuding. They don't like each other. I would expect Blaine Gabbert to take over. And I would like to see Blaine Gabbert. I think that's their best chance of winning. But let's face it, Anquan Boldin, their top wide receiver last year, not there anymore. Free agent, didn't resign, still looking for a job. No other clear-cut wide receiver worth, you know, being a number one just yet. There's no one I don't see anybody stepping up to be a number one guy anymore like Crabtree was. Running game, I don't think it's existent. They had that one good game against Minnesota in week 1, and after that, it was gone. So I think their safety net, regardless of who their quarterback is, their safety net has to be their tight end, right? So this is going to be a tight end that's definitely going to be there in late rounds, probably not even drafted in some leagues. If he's there, of what I just said, you know, the last 8 weeks, he started building, you know, consistency with Blaine Gabbert. If he's there and you need a second tight end, if you're one of those guys that draft 2 tight ends, one for your bye week and then one for your starter, or maybe you just took another superstar player and just forgot about a tight end. I don't know what your situation may be, but if you're in the, let's say, the 8th, 9th, or 10th round, and you have, you know, you're just trying to fill those last 2 spots, and he's there, you think he's worth taking a chance on?
You know, I love that you give me San Francisco, okay, because the other team in the Bay Area. This team's a mess. I mean, you have a head coach and quarterback who are at each other's throats. Okay, that ain't good. Blaine Gabbert actually did play pretty well last year, and Kaepernick's, benching or absence or whatever happened to him, he vanished. But look, okay, Chip Kelly comes in. All right, Trent Baalke made the decision. He's on the hot seat. He's going to get fired soon if they don't do anything. But let me put it to you this way. You have no quarterback play, okay? You have no running game. I mean, they had a running game against Minnesota, but then Carlos Hyde went down the tubes after that, okay? Your wide receivers are terrible, right? I mean, Des McDonald was the backup to Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis got traded to Denver. Thank God for him because he got a Super Bowl ring for that. And now Vance McDonald's the starter. He's the only person they have, right? Like, I'm looking at their depth, Aaron. They have nobody. They have absolutely nobody. I don't know how they're expecting to score points, first of all. I mean, you know, you have, I guess, Patton, who's going to be very, very well. All right, you have Torrey Smith. But, I mean, that's it. And don't even get me started on their defense, because that's even worse. But this is a mess. They have so many holes everywhere. They tried to fix it. You know, you have different things coming here. Colin Kaepernick, a headache. I mean, at this point, Aaron, this is a rebuilding process. This is actually where Chip Kelly needs to fly because, you know, he'll demolish the whole team like he did in Philadelphia. But this is a team that's just a train wreck.
It is. But, I mean, I'm looking at what he did with Blaine Gabbert, you know, if he's your only reliable option, I mean, obviously they're going to obviously think that Torrey Smith is an option, which technically he can be. But I don't see him as a number one style wide receiver. So even if they play him at number one, let's face it, they know who you're going to because you didn't draft any, like, star wide receivers. You got DeForest Buckner when you probably should have taken Laquon Treadwell
or
someone of that caliber.
Come on.
You know, or someone, or traded up to get a receiver. I don't care. You could have traded up, and they could have took Josh Doctson. And, you know, I mean, but they went, DeForest Buckner went defense. I mean, I'm just saying, fantasy-wise, if he's there, you know, I might even pick, I mean, I'm in two PPR leagues. If he's there, I might take a chance on him, because what's the worst that can happen? I drop him and pick up someone else? Okay. Or the best case scenario is the safety net becomes a number one receiver. That's how I look at it. But I think it's going to depend on the quarterback, because if it's Kaepernick, he might be that, he might go back to that, you know, 8 catches for 45 yards. Because Kaepernick is going to try to run the ball, play action the ball.
But you actually made a good point earlier, what you said. I don't mean to interrupt you, but you made a good point. You said Blaine Dowright actually came in there and played very well. I mean, he played better than Colin Kaepernick played, right, with, even when he came back. Blaine Dowright actually made him relevant.
That's what I'm saying. Blaine Dowright, in my opinion, should be the guaranteed starter, because I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to start a guy who, yeah, he's been there. He took him to the playoffs, took him to the Super Bowl. He still lost. But here's the thing. He acted like a little kid after everything went down this offseason. Chip Kelly comes in. He starts bashing heads with him. And then if I'm looking at the two guys, I'm sorry. I'm going to take the guy who came in, worked his butt off every day, took over for you in week 9, and still gave them a chance to make the playoffs. They still didn't make it because they had to win, like, I think they're like their last two, and three other teams. I mean, obviously, at the end of the season, everything's weird. But, I mean, he gave them a chance to be in the playoffs with a horrible team. And now their defense is horrible, like you said. And their running game, let's face it, it's non-existent. It's either a hit or miss. And most of the time it's a miss, and the offensive line sucks. And their quarterback play is only good with Blaine Gabbert. That's, I mean – and it's sad to say that, because Blaine used to have to be a good quarterback when he was with Jacksonville. I didn't like to watch him. But in San Francisco, I don't know. There's something about it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the scheme. I don't know if it was Harbaugh at the time. I don't know. But now you got Chip Kelly, who hasn't traded the team away, surprisingly. But
give him time. Give him time.
Obviously, we don't know what he can do. Obviously, we haven't seen what Chip – you know, this could be a revival for Chip Kelly. We don't know that. But going off of what we know, what he did in Philly, come on. You have to think that Blaine Gabbert should be the guaranteed starter, because if you give in and let Kaepernick start, you're basically just telling him that he can act a fool and act like a little kid and he's going to get his way regardless. And – pretty much, you're gonna kill the team, and knowing Chip Kelly, that's probably what he's gonna do.
He is very fortunate, Aaron, that he's even the starting quarterback, because he was the starting quarterback when Alex Smith went out in 2011 or 12, and then he took off and was fantastic, and then Alex Smith goes to Kansas City. I just don't think Colin Kaepernick's all that good. He couldn't win the Super Bowl. I mean, he had a massive choke. He's a choke artist, in my opinion. He's not good. And honestly, you know, I know they paid him all that money, but think of this, Aaron. This is a team that went to 3 straight NFC Championship games, okay, made a Super Bowl appearance, lost because Colin Kaepernick is a choker. However, I mean, they were so good. And as soon as Harbaugh left, oh, my goodness, Aaron, everybody left. You know, last year, everybody just left. And you knew what the outcome was going to be. And with Chip Kelly, it may be worse than Tom Fuba.
I don't think anything could be worse than Tom Sula. I mean, there was so many options to bring in for
him.
You could have
put
college coaches that you could have brought in just to interview. They didn't even interview anybody. They just straight up said, Tom Sula, offensive coordinator. All right, you're interim head coach. You know what? We're going to give you the job. And what did he do? He gave him a top 7 pick is what he did.
Well,
and then he lost his job. I mean, let's face it. Like, I don't like – now, granted, some scenarios are great when you promote within your team. You know, like, if they started out as, like, a special teams coach, went to defensive coordinator, defensive assistant, defensive coach, offensive coordinator, assistant coach, head coach. You know, if they built their way up from position to position, then, you know, sometimes that scenario works out. But that was like what, Tom Sula's second year as offensive coordinator, and then he gets two straight horrible years, in my opinion, and then he gets head coach, does a crap job there, basically gets a draft pick ready for whoever they bring in, ends up being Chip Kelly. And I just, the 49ers are turning into the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
And that's
that. They're the Raiders of 2004 through 10 and 11. And I've watched the Raiders, Aaron, for a lot of years. I've watched them struggle as they go 2-14, 3-13. This is the exact same thing that's going on. And, you know, I have friends who are San Francisco 49ers fans who really don't understand what's going on. But you had a team that was like, they were creating a dynasty, right? I mean, they were doing so well. You almost expected them to go, to another NFC Championship game. They forced Harbaugh out of town, okay, is what they did. So he went to Michigan. And then, you know, I don't necessarily put it all on Jim Tom Sula. He lost 90% of his team. He was dealt with probably one of the worst teams on depth I've ever seen. And then he loses his job. And then they hired Chip Kelly. I would have hired another person over Chip Kelly. But we'll see how it goes. But I have literally no optimism that it's going to go well for the other team in the Bay Area.
No, yeah, I mean, and it's sad to say that, but, I mean, you got to look at the facts. And I know there's fans everywhere of every team that are like, no matter what they think,
yeah,
you know, the worst scenario that's happening is, like, a good thing. But, I mean, if you're going to be
there,
a realistic fan,
I've
been there too. Be realistic, guys. You got to start thinking, like, okay, what is our team doing? Like, why are we doing like I've seen more fans angry at Philadelphia, and they had a better scenario going on right now than the 49ers fans who are like loving Chip Kelly right now. I mean, when Chip Kelly traded away everyone, their top scorer, their top linebacker, when they were gone, Philadelphia fans were livid. I mean, I didn't even understand how you could trade away LeSean McCoy for Pico Alonso. I mean, come on. It's not even, like, you didn't even get a draft pick. You just traded across the board. That's all you did. It's not worth it. And now you got the same guy coming to your team, and people's not worried about it. Like, I don't see how fans could do that. Like, how are you not worried that Chip Kelly is not going to do the same thing to you? Maybe because they don't have a running back to trade for of that caliber. I don't know. But, I mean, now Kiko's out of Philadelphia anyways. He's in Miami. So, I mean, either way, fans should be worried about Chip Kelly and wherever he goes. That's all I'm saying.
I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, what he did in Philadelphia was terrible. Every one of us knew what was going to happen. Every one of us. I knew as soon as I get why he traded Nick Foles. He didn't really like Nick Foles, but Nick Foles was productive. But I was expecting when he traded LeSean McCoy, and LeSean McCoy college in Pittsburgh, he loves Pennsylvania, okay? He didn't want to go anywhere. Then he goes to Buffalo, has a lot of choice words for him. It was a mess. He gets rid of Macklin. He gets rid of everybody. DeSean Jackson he releases. I mean, it was like, he should have been fired, you know? I would have fired him.
I mean, he's the same.
LeSean McCoy.
Like, one thing I'll say about Nick Foles is his last year, he really started showing signs of being that great starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's sad to say that it came to a game where he played your Oakland Raiders and threw for seven touchdowns. How do you throw – I mean, I understand how you throw seven touchdowns against the Raiders that year, but still.
Thanks, Aaron.
And it was and four of them were to Wiley Cooper. What is going on in Philly? I mean,
it's called having no defense. That's what it's called.
But still, Wiley Cooper, I mean, I don't know how he still has a job, but he showed signs that year of being that guy. You know, you could trust that guy. And then he loses to Sanchez. He gets traded to St. Louis. And now he lost his job to Jared Goff with one of the worst starting records in college history, probably, to get drafted number one. And, I mean, then
that
you got
for
Carson
a different
Wentz
day.
Then you got Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, who I think, I'm just telling you people, and it's in my division, and, you know, I'm scared about watching what Carson Wentz can do in Philadelphia. They don't have much to work with, but, I mean, granted, he came from South Dakota State, but still, he's going to be that guy that nobody expects to do anything, and he's going to come out there and light it up. I can just see it happening somehow. So, like, until I see what he does on the field in, like, the first 3 to 4 weeks, I'm going to be nervous about watching Carson Wentz. But, I mean, we got about 15 minutes left in the show. So what I'm going to do is next week, I don't know if you're going to be available, but my plan is next week's show on Monday is I plan on putting a bunch of questions out on Twitter, and I'm going to do a couple on Facebook, but I'm going to do mostly on Twitter. I'm going to do like poll questions and stuff like that. And I'm basically going to have like a fan base show next week. I'm just going to like I'm going to come up with some fantasy questions, some roster questions, and then I'm going to pull a page out of Tyler's playbook about having a fan on and really dissecting whatever team they're in, you know, like whatever team they have, like break down the offense, defense, special teams, and go over what Jerry called the good, the bad, and the ugly. So that's my plan next week. If you can make it, that'd be great. Go ahead and tell everybody how to get a hold of you. And then, are you planning on bringing back Rhino's Hotspots?
Tweet me at Rhino's Hotspots 1. That's my Twitter handler. I'm on Twitter like when I'm not at work all day. But yes, Rhino's Hotspots will be brought back. I haven't decided trying to think of when to do it, when people are available. But I'm thinking more towards Saturdays or Fridays, depending on what's going to happen. And just for a side note, and T, thank you for listening. I want to give you a shout-out. Aaron, thanks for having me on. And I just wanted to say, you know, I have a couple of things in mind going on for Sports Ethics. I'm not going to really mention what they are right now, but there's things that I'm working on behind the scenes, and Aaron, I'll keep you up to date on that. But, yeah, to me, I want to talk about one. I will give you and everybody who's the host and my Twitter handler, I will give them all a date of when I'm coming back. But it will not be called Rhino's Hotspots anymore. I will be changing my name. I haven't decided what the name is going to be. So I have a lot of work to get done, but I will definitely keep you all posted.
Yeah, and thanks, T. I'm going to give you a shout-out as well. T usually listens in almost every time. So, T, thank you for coming on. If you guys want to tweet me, I'm at MTC Addicts on Twitter. That's my Twitter handler. I'll get with Ryan. I'll probably call you after the show ends, and I'll get an update on everything. But
for sure,
it's going to be exciting to have Rhino come back. It's going to be exciting. If y'all missed Will and T's show last night, go ahead and head over to Blog Talk Radio. You can find it there. Listen up, catch up on that. Wednesday, I think Tyler's show. Train of Thought will be happening tomorrow. Guru will be on. He usually does a lot of fantasy numbers and fantasy questions. So if y'all are really looking to get into some knowledge about fantasy for this coming year, hit up Guru show tomorrow night. Other than that, Rhino, thank you for coming on. I don't know what magic and black magic you had to pull tonight to make this happen, but I appreciate you coming on. Because otherwise it would have been a very, very short show. Other than that, guys, thanks for tuning in, if you listen in. And we will get with you all next week. Be looking for those questions on Twitter, because there's going to be some crazy ones, and there's going to be some ones that are going to make you think. And there's going to be some easy ones, I'll give you that. But tune in next week, and everybody have a good night or a good day, whatever time it is that you're listening to, and enjoy the rest of your week.